as you continue to finish eating, and please do so, there's plenty of food left over, plenty of muffins, donuts, more drinks coming around, so feel free to help yourself. But as you eat, I would like to get going with our program, introduce our speakers for today. And they're going to be talking about keeping the faith during tough times, and I think we can all relate to that. So without further ado, I'd like to present Tom and Marion Hornacek. I'll let them give you a little rundown of who they are, too.
Thank you. Good morning. Marion and I we were in the grocery business, hardware business with our family. A couple years ago, we sold our business. We now live permanently in East Tawas, Michigan, in the Gaylord Diocese. Really feel blessed to be here. We talk about your parish, the vocations, religious vocations that have come out of here, and we speak about your parish often in your faith community. It's a real blessing to this Diocese of Lansing. You know, and I thought what we're going to talk to you about today and share in our lives and how the Lord is working through us and each and every one of us, but it really struck me today is in the readings at Mass really spoke to all this, and I just want to take note of a couple things before we get started. From the book of the prophet Isaiah, "I will never forget you." You know, a lot of times when we hit tough times, immediately we don't go to prayer. I've done it. We go to other things and we let the other guy in. But "I will never forget you," regardless of what's going on. And the more difficult it becomes, he grows closer to us. And also, especially from the reading from Matthew, the gospel reading, "Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? Guilty as charged, I do it all the time. I did it driving down here yesterday." But at the end of his reading, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you besides. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil." And boy, brothers and sisters, that is the truth. A little bit about me. 16 years ago, lived in Pinconning, farming community just like your own here. You know, Catholic, married my high school sweetheart. We have two children, two daughters. Life is good. You know, my oldest daughter was born deaf, so that put a little crink in our perfect plan in life. But we threw ourselves into it and brought her up to be able to lip read, to speak, and she also signs. And so anyway, life is good. I think I'm a good Catholic guy. I go to church most of the time. I pray. Well, when I need something. You know, when things are good, I don't pray because I don't need anything. I don't go to confession because, you know what? Me and Jesus, we're buds. I do something wrong, I'm just going to talk to him and I'll do better next time. I didn't pray the rosary. I didn't pray the chaplet. That's for older Catholic ladies. That's not for men. So that's how I was living my life, thinking I'm a great Catholic. Well, 16 years ago in August, my brother had a party for the managers in our business. We had a barbecue and beer and drinks and stuff. Well, I had a few beers. Well, the next morning, my first wife, Karen, my high school sweetheart, and our daughters, we have to be at 8 a.m. Mass for her father who had died of cancer the year before. So we get up early, and I don't feel good. I had a few beers, self-inflicted. So we get to Mass. I get in. I get on the kneeler. Start to pray, and then it started. My heart had started racing. I got really hot, felt like I was going to pass out, felt really stupid. And then I start hearing these voices. "Tom, why do you feel like this? You don't need to feel like this. Just get up and walk out. Go out those doors. You'll feel great. You don't need to feel like this. Just get up and go out. You don't need to feel like this. You'll feel great. Just walk outside." Well, I'm thinking this is myself. I'm reasoning this. I don't feel good. I did it to myself. And I just say, "Oh, Lord, please keep me here. Please, Lord, just get me through Mass. Just get me through Mass, Lord." You know what kept me in my seat? My pride. Because if I got up and walked out, everybody would say, "What happened to Tom? What did he leave for?" Well, he had a few beers last night. Boy, was he a fool. My pride kept me in that chair, not my faith. But I prayed, and I prayed as best I knew. Well, I made it through. Get home. I didn't tell my wife. I was so embarrassed. And I'm like, "That is so stupid. I will never do that again." Well, the next Sunday, we go to Mass. I get in, nothing to drink. I get in and I get on the kneeler. Same thing. Heart starts racing. I get really hot, feel like I'm going to pass out. And I start hearing all these voices. Tom, just get up and walk out. You don't need to feel like this. Why do you feel like this? Just get up and walk out. You'll feel good. And again, I think I'm just having a panic attack. And I'm like, oh, that's so stupid. I caused myself to have these panic attacks. And those voices just kept, in all Mass, I would just say, oh, Lord, please just get me through this, get me through this. I still didn't tell my wife. I was so embarrassed that I did this to myself. Well, ladies, that went on week after week after week after week. And about 5 or 6 weeks into it, I was a confirmation sponsor for my nephew, was in high school. And I'm in my suit and tie, and I'm standing next to him, and we're right up front. And man, because I didn't even know who was talking to me, but this time he threw it all. I felt like I was 110 degrees. My heart was racing, and I was going to go down. And I got to tell you, ladies, I stopped, and I said, Lord Jesus Christ, deliver me from this, and I will serve you forever. And instantly, I got hit with a cold blast of air from the top of my head to my toes, and I was shivering. And it was gone. And it never happened again. I was delivered at Mass by Jesus Christ. Well, then I shared it with my wife, and the fire had been lit. They need Eucharistic ministers. I volunteered my wife and I. And she was like, oh, Father, Father, he's on fire right now. Don't let him volunteer me for anything. Ask me first. So she didn't want to, but once she became a Eucharistic minister, she really loved it. Then they needed lectors. I became a lector. Then they came to me and Sister Jean, and she said, we need a man on the RCIA team. And I said, Sister Jean, I don't know anything. She says, don't worry, we'll teach you. We just need a man on the team. My wife wasn't crazy about it at the time because it was a weekly commitment all year. But I started, and I would go, and I'd come home, and I wouldn't say much. Then she'd say, well, what'd you learn? And I'm like, you won't believe. I didn't know anything about my Catholic faith. Now, at the same time, the Lord had the full court press on me. I tune in my favorite sports talk radio, 1440 AM in Saginaw. And what is it? It's suddenly Ave Maria Catholic Radio. And it's like, what? I didn't know there was such a thing as Catholic radio. And the only reason I listened was because no one knew. And many men today, I find that being involved now in Catholic radio, listen because nobody knows. And I got to tell you, once you start listening, you can't listen to anything else. Because I could turn that in on my 10-minute drive into our store and learn something every time. And boy, how many times have all of us, when you've been able to listen, you turn it on and you just hear what you needed to hear right then. Because in these days and times, the Lord is using everything at his disposal to reach souls. He just is. So, I got Catholic radio going. I'm on the RCIA team. I'm very involved in my parish. Well, 2 years after this, the Lord took my wife through a brain aneurysm. Had been in perfect health. And they did surgery. She wasn't going to make it. And that was 9 months before my oldest daughter, Mindy, who was deaf, was graduating from Madonna University, and 2 months later getting married. But I can honestly tell you, to this day, I have never said, Lord, why? I just thanked him for every moment of every day we had together. And that was his grace, because he graced me for 2 years prior to that and lifted me up. And I just thanked him for every moment of every day that we had together. And I did. I never said why, because he breathes life into us. He brought us here. Every moment is a gift. But I never would have gotten through that moment without the grace that he gave me. And then he led me to my wife, Marion, working on a school bond proposal. And then I'll have Marion share her story.
Sorry, I got cold. I got a runny nose. That's okay. Yes. Not only do I not need a stage, I need glasses on, glasses off, glasses on, glasses off.
Do you want to use this?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that would be better. Thanks. morning. You are a beautiful group of women, I just got to say. I feel the love. And Patty, oh my gosh, Patty Tice. Well, you'll always be Patty Tice to me. I've been a volleyball coach for 31 years, 25 at Pinconning and then 6 at our little school in Pinconning. So, and I'm a former Bulldog, so paved the way, right, you know, for us girls who walk on in college, and that would never happen now, right? You probably got a scholarship. I walked on. Praying to be able to play. Anyway, a little bit, you know, Tom told you, you know, we got the opportunity to meet, but my story is a little bit of a different path, and so I'm going to share it with you, and hopefully we can find some common ground. But I'm just going to start with, you know, I had it all, really, I did. I had a great family, 7 siblings, mom and dad, big farm, you know, hoed, picked pickles, did all those things that you do to try and make ends meet on the farm. And my dad was a crop farmer. He was a cattle farmer before, but not when I was born. Anyway, I had just a fantastic childhood, and I say that because we pray with a lot of people through Unbound Ministry that we're involved in, and many people did not have that. Many women I pray with have just had just a horrible upbringing. So I just said to my mom not long ago, thank you so much for, you know, my dad's gone, but I said, thank you so much for this fantastic childhood I had, because it was beautiful. Anyway, went to college, did my thing, and married my high school sweetheart, and he was a car dealer. And we traveled abroad. We saw and did many things. You know, had it, like I said, had it all. And after 9 years of marriage, had 2 children. My oldest daughter, who's 27 this year, was born with quite a serious birth defect. And my faith was always, it was a big Catholic family, you know, but, you know, went to college, so played guitar a little bit at the college campus church, but then went on to my internship and kind of, you know, fell away, and, you know, went to the old Catholic church in Lapeer, Michigan, and no one said hi, no one said bye, no one said anything, you know what I mean? And that gift of hospitality, if you have it, use it. Because, you know, there's a lot of people there that just come and are never, ever spoken to. So remember that. They're a stranger, you know. So I fell away. I fell away from my Catholic faith. And then when I married my husband, he was Methodist, and he wasn't going to do nothing with Catholics. And his mom became born again and an experience in Israel. So I kind of started getting, she would ask me to go to this and that. So I went to several conferences, and I always had faith, and I always knew God, and Jesus was the center of life. You know what I'm saying? But kind of like, but you're right. You know, that pigeonhole. Here's my faith life. Here's my volleyball life. Here's my married life. Here's my, you know. So I can't say he was really the center, but I always believed. I always knew. My gosh, my mom was just an unbelievable prayer person and warrior. But anyway, after 10 years of marriage and 2 children, my husband comes home one day, and I hear the worst words I could ever hear. I'm having an affair. So, you know, crash, right? And said, but I'd like to try and work it out and see what we can do. So that was spring of, you know, 94. And so we started going to counseling and trying to work on it and doing it. Did Christian counseling, and he was told to do some things like, you know, fire her because she worked at the dealership and those type of things. And, well, no, I can't. I'll get sued for this, blah, blah. Anyway, that December, after kind of a long haul, our little guy at 20 months old was diagnosed with stage 4 neuroblastoma cancer. And that was our Christmas present that year. Anyway, he fought bravely, but he didn't make it. You know, 6 months of treatment and being down in Ann Arbor, I'm sorry, you know, it's been 20-some years. His birthday was just Saturday, and it's like, how can you
Should a mother forget her son, right? Today's scripture. You can't forget him, obviously. But anyway, only to, you know, so he passed away. He was two. And beautiful. It was a beautiful death, really. It was in my arms, home in hospice. And you know, when you've been with anybody who suffered, you're okay with them going. Especially if you know that Jesus is there, and that they're in his arms, or, you know, what do you pray for your children? That they see the kingdom of God and they spend eternity in heaven, right? Yeah, we pray that they get have a good spouse and a good marriage and a good job and successful with this, but you really, really want to see them go to heaven. And when you can, you know, have that assurance, oh my gosh, thank you, Lord, for that faith. Thank you for that. Thank you for, usually I could see a crucifix. Thank you for doing that, for that death on the cross, so that I could, my son can be with you. You know, so now I've got to go, right? I got to get to heaven. But, you know, just literally, I'm just going to say it, all hell broke loose in my life. Because then I find out, really, my husband never had ended the affair all through that summer of counseling. He never ended it. All while I was in Ann Arbor, 30 days in a hospital bed with my little guy. He's continuing it on in my marriage bed, you know, while I'm gone with our four-year-old down the hall. And it's like, you're like, really? Are you, you're just like, I don't know, you know. What do you do? How do you function? How do you pick up the pieces? How do you survive? Well, we kind of went back and forth, and he wanted to come back, and then he didn't, and then he wanted to come back. And Tom, is my bag down there? It's over there. Thank you. So I did what you know, this is what I started to do, okay? So it's kind of all said and done. I'm going to bring it back a couple years, but it's all said and done, and I know what I'm going to do now. I'm going to drink the poison. The poison is, every morning I woke up, I hope they have a bad day. I can't stand them. They're this, they're that. And they were in my minds, they as a couple and me over here single with my daughter and anger and hatred and bitterness and betrayal and embarrassment in the community, small community, the gossip. All I can say is if gossip is a two-edged sword, I was cut down because it was a constant gossip. Oh, well, no, he couldn't cope with the son's death, so he, you know, he leaned on her because it's, no, 6 months ago they were having an affair, a year ago, you don't know the truth. Well, they told me if this and if that and if this and that, and pretty soon it becomes people's truth, and they don't know the truth. But you know, what can you say? You can only pray, so watch your tongue. I'm going to say that as women. Well, I know the kind of... I'm in the prayer chain, and so, okay, will you pray for her? She has, you know, been diagnosed with a stage 4 cancer. Well, what is she? And then want to ask more questions and want to know, and then pass that on, and pretty soon you don't have the truth. So pray, you know, for a tongue of kindness, because I've been on the receiving end of it, and I'll never say anything about anybody ever again because I did do that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to accuse. I'm talking to me. I just, you know what I, but I just want to, you know, I want to tell you that it was probably one of the most painful things in a small town over the grocery aisle. You hear them talking about you. And they have no idea you're on the other side. And they've just come up and they take the cart and they go away from you because they don't know what to say because you've just lost your husband and you've just buried your son. What am I going to say to her? You know, so... I'm not trying to be bitter, but you know what I'm saying. So anyway, I decided that I never felt home in the Methodist Church. And my mom said, why don't you come back to the Catholic Church? Because I'm sitting with now my ex-in-laws. You know, that was awkward. So anyway, so I come back to the Catholic Church. Oh, my word, I've come home. I've come home to the Eucharist, to confession, which I hadn't been to in 20-some years at least. I've come home to, you know, the sacrament of adoration and just had my daughter baptized, and I just rammed her through them darn sacraments, and she was going to be Catholic, and God bless her, she is today. But it was just, it was a coming home I can't describe. That grape juice and bread, I'm sorry if there's anybody here who may not be Catholic. I don't know if there's any, but it didn't even, I didn't have a clue. The gift of the Eucharist is just an unbelievable gift. So now I'm drinking the poison. Yum, yum. Can't stand them. Getting her bitter, you know. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness blocks us from the graces that we just won't receive. Because what does God say about forgiveness? Look, just Google it. And you'll find 6,000 times in the Bible forgiveness and what happens with unforgiveness. And the Our Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those. Right. I'm going to forgive them. Sure, that's true. Right. So my sister, she says, Marian, why don't you come to a parish mission with me? I'm like, what's a parish mission? She says, I don't know. This priest is going to talk for 3 nights and just come. Well, I got nothing, really, out of the 3 nights but one thing, and it saved my life. He said, if you are suffering, if you are harboring, if you are in such a muck and mire of unforgiveness, do this for me. When the priest lifts up the bread, name the problem. Say your problem. When he raises the cup, give the Lord the emotion. Put emotion to the problem. Here's my divorce, Lord. Here's the cup. Anger, hatred, bitterness, jealousy, embarrassment, betrayal, abandonment. Put the emotion to it. Give it to the Lord. Give it to him. Oh, I'm thinking, okay. He says, you can't bear this on your own. You can't possibly. But with God, what? All things are possible. You must give it to him. You must join it to him. Or this is like saying to Jesus, this is a crucifix up here when I'm pointing. Jesus, I thank you for doing that, but really it's not good enough. I got this. I got this. You know, I'm going to stick with this because this is what I want to be in. Why? I got to give it up. I got to forgive. 6 years, you know. But in that parish mission, about 6 months, every Sunday, for that consecration. Here it is, Lord. Here it is. And it's like I put my baggage in a bag and I gave it to him. Here, right at the foot of the cross. Here it is, Lord. You can have it. I give it to you. I give it to you. I can't endure it. Obviously, I'm not doing, you know, so well. And then it's like after Mass, no one's looking. I go back, snatch my bag of garbage and take it home. Because that's where I'm comfortable. That's where I've been for 6 years. This is right. Do you know what they did to me? Do you know what they did? You know, this is, I am justified in this anger, in this hatred, in this bitterness. It's like every week, give it to them. No one look, take it back home. Take it back home. Give it to them, take it back. And it's like, if we're going to give our children and our problems to the Lord, have the faith and don't take it back. Sister Ann Shields, are you guys familiar with Sister Ann at all? The what do they call her? The iron fist with the velvet glove. She pow, you know, she hits you. Right, didn't see that pretty glove coming. Anyway, she you know, says, if you're going to give it to him, have the faith and give it to him. Quit taking it back. Surrender it to him. And about 6 weeks, every weekend, take this, please take this. Okay, I told you I'd take it, but you know, you're not trusting me and you want to take it back. And then one weekend, I gave it to him and he took it. And I knew I had given it to him for the last time, which was unbelievable weight. Because you know, men are the nastiest, rottenest things ever. You know, there's some more poison I was drinking, you know. Oh, guys, man, a date? No, You know, I get asked out. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I wouldn't even think of another guy. I couldn't. I was drinking the poison, hoping they would die. And all I'm drinking that poison, I was dying. It was me that was dying, not them. They're going on. They're in their happy little life. I was the one dying. Drinking the poison, hoping somebody else dies. Ugh. But man, it tasted good while I was doing it, you know. So, you know, this priest, I don't know him. I don't even know who he is. He just came 3 days out of Sioux Falls, Iowa, or somewhere over there, and he just gave this beautiful retreat, and I was just literally set free. And we know what unforgiveness can cause with us, right? Two sisters, mom passes away. Here's the Wedgwood teapot. She said, I could have it. She said, I could have it. I could. Snatch. And two sisters won't talk for 30 years over a teapot. You know, I know, I can tell. I'm relating. You know that? You know, girls, don't fight over your mom's stuff. It's stuff. You know? It's just stuff. I'm talking salvation here. We're putting our salvation at risk by not forgiving. Seriously. It's us who's going to die. Us. Drinking that poison. And, we talk about, in Unbound, we talk a little bit about forgiveness and reconciliation. Well, forgiveness takes the, one, you. You in your heart. I have not reconciled with my ex-husband, but I have forgiven him. And you know what? Praying for him and his new wife and his wife now. Praying for him. You told me that 10 years ago. You would blow me over with a feather. I'm like, pray with him. What? Pray for your enemies, I say to you. You know what I'm saying? How hard that is? Lord, bless them. Give them everything they need. I'm trying to mean that, Lord, but it takes time and it takes faith and it takes that growing, you know what I'm saying? You know, my daughter just got married in June and her new mother-in-law hasn't spoken to her father in 30 years. She had, five kids and her mom, and her mom was diagnosed with cancer. He walks out. He doesn't help. She dies, and the oldest sister at 20 is taking care of a family of five. And she hates the man. And she's justified, right? Right? I mean, you walked out. You never gave us a dime. We had a tough childhood. Then her brother committed suicide. Oh, you want to say, oh, vey, Lord. But who's in the end? What can you control? Nothing. But you can control your own destiny and salvation by letting Jesus be the guide. Letting him be what you... It's tough to be a Christian. That's why when... I'm going to get political. That's why we're not out there all... We weren't out there all protesting when Barack Obama put the gay lights on the White House. Because we're the silent majority, because it's tough being a Christian to love. Show that love. That's why we're not out there banging on, the ground and being mad and putting signs, keep your rosary off my ovaries. We're just that, not that. That's not who we are. We are brothers and sisters in Christ and God. He's so cool. He just is unbelievable. No, I got to get the glasses up. Somebody else's are up here too, so I don't feel so bad. And you're thinking, but how can I forgive him? It's impossible for me to forgive. Fill in the blank, yourself. For what they did to me, for what they... Yes, you're right. It is impossible for you to forgive. But it's not impossible with the help of God. Because with God, all things are possible. It's possible. So there's reconciliation and there's forgiveness. So I have forgiven them. And reconciliation really takes two. You and God. God, help me forgive this person. Give me that. And reconciliation takes three. You, the other person and Jesus. And that may never happen in a lifetime. You can't control the other person. They come up to you, and you know, you go up to them and say, I want to ask for forgiveness for anything I've done to you in the past. And I want to repair our relationship or whatever we can do to repair our relationship. And they say, no. Well, then God knows your heart, right? He knows what you... It takes three. It takes that other person, you and God. And if that other person isn't willing, well, they're not willing. But you are on a path to your salvation, your journey to salvation. You can't let them make you drink the poison and hate and pull you off that narrow path. Am I making sense? And it's hard. It's so hard. And I struggle with it every day. He prays better for me. You know, he prays for the other family better than me, you know. He helps me with that. He helps me with that. So hopefully, I'm sorry if I've taken too long. I just wanted to just impress upon you that Jesus, he's so, you know, how do you say the words? Stay faithful. Stay faithful in that. And I just wanted to do one thing, Tom. I want to just talk about Sister Ann Shield's book. She has a little pamphlet. I think I have it in my thing. And it's called Faith More Precious Than Gold. And this was about faith, right? Faith More Precious Than Gold. And in the midst of suffering. And you guys actually, Adam, had a stack of them in your other, we stayed at the, across the street there in the house, and there was a stack, and you know, it said Hebrews 11:1 says, here we go, glasses, faith is confident assurance concerning what we hope for and conviction about the things we do not see. And this is out of Sister Ann's little book, okay? I thought it was so good. So we got to make sure what we hope for is what God is offering, not like, oh, I hope I get that job, or I hope my son gets a job, or I hope the doctor report is good. But hope that is based on, you know, if we base our hope on what the world offers, we'll be sorely, sorely disappointed. But if we base our hope on what God has to offer, salvation, and being brothers and sisters in Christ, then we're good. Hope is the best thing of this whole thing. And I didn't have hope, and I didn't know hope, and I didn't understand redemptive suffering. Oh, if I could have joined that suffering with Jesus and not took it all on myself, God bless the Catholic Church for that gift of understanding how to join it with him and say, thank you. You know, and how can you console the heart of Jesus? How can you be a part of him? You see the back of him praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's Jesus, you know, sweating blood, praying to the Lord, take this cup from me if you will, you know, whatever your will. How can you console him? Well, for praying for the enemies, your enemies, for praying for the people who have abandoned him. You know, it's like consoling him. Lord, I love you. Let me console you. You're moms. We're all moms. Consoling is the best thing you can do with a child, you know? It's so tender. It's so good. So we just console Jesus' heart and our mothers, our Mother Mary, for those understanding and those things that we can't understand. But we know because we have faith. It's because we can't see, but we can certainly know through his word. Okay? Thank you. God bless you. You're beautiful. Thank you, honey.
Just a couple more things I wanted to share with you. You know, we've been very blessed to bring us together, and everyone here has suffered in some way. But just remember that your testimony is the most powerful thing you can share with anybody. You may be on a plane, the person next to you, share your testimony. It's very powerful. You know, and just what we've been talking about today, I just want to share a couple things with you. This is from St. Catherine of Siena, what the Lord spoke to her. I've appointed the devil to tempt and to trouble my creatures in this life. I've done this not so that my creatures will be overcome, but so that they may overcome, proving their virtue and receiving from me the glory of victory. And no one should fear any battle or temptation of the devil that may come to him, because I've made my creatures strong and I've given them strength of will, fortified in the blood of my Son. And one other, this is from St. Louis de Montfort. What then does God look upon with pleasure and delight? What is he asking the angels about and even the demons? It's about the one who's fighting for him against riches, against the world, against hell, and against even himself. The one who's cheerfully carrying his cross. In the book of Job, the Lord asks Satan, have you seen on earth the great wonder that the heavens gaze upon with admiration? Have you considered my servant Job, who is suffering for me? You will receive the crown of glory, ladies. And when we suffer here on earth, we will be rewarded one day. Catholic Radio affected my life in a great way, and I ended up becoming the president of Berga Catholic Radio. I'm not going to go into the story, but God was just a factor in it, because I know what it had done in my life, and I know what it could do in other men's life and ladies. With that, this past summer, we were very blessed to have Bishop Oliver Dashe Dome. He is a Nigerian bishop in the Diocese of Maiduguri. That's the diocese, if you remember, where 300 schoolgirls were kidnapped by the Boko Haram, and most of them are still missing. Well, he came back last July, and Marion and I have been blessed to transport him. I was able to interview him on my show about an experience he had with our Blessed Lord, and also to talk about what's going on in his diocese. Well, in his diocese, and he was a young bishop, the Boko Haram, and the Boko Haram means no Western education. They would come into towns, they take everything you have. You leave on foot and you run. They kidnap the children, the women, they kill. You know what they do. It's horrible. Well, during the height of this, Bishop Oliver was told, don't wear your bishop's garb, your normal vestments, because you're a target. And he said, no, I will wear them. But he was a very holy man. He prayed the rosary, all four mysteries every day. And in the height of it, in October 2014, 80% of the Christian churches had been burned to the ground in his diocese. He's praying before the Blessed Sacrament. And you can Google Bishop Oliver Rosary Miracle, and you can see all kinds of stories from all over the world about this, where he was interviewed. He's before the Blessed Sacrament. He's pouring his heart out to the Lord. What am I to do, Lord? And Jesus appeared to him, and he held out a white sword. And when he held it out, he said, I stood up and I was shaking and I reached out to grab the sword. And when he went to take it, it became a pure white rosary. And he said, the Lord said to him three times, he said, the Boko Haram will be gone. The Boko Haram will be gone. The Boko Haram will be gone. He started rosary processions in their churches, in their streets, and the Boko Haram is almost completely gone. And he told me during our time together that one young boy was kidnapped. They would kidnap the children. They would put them in pens like cattle. And this one young boy had his little plastic rosary in his pocket. And he pulled it out that evening. And he prayed all night. And the next morning, they came into the area. They grabbed him and they let him go. No explanation. A family. Most families, when they came into town, they took everything. They'd even take your vehicle. You don't take your vehicle. You leave on foot. This family locked their doors, they pulled down their shades, and they started to pray the rosary. They were in their house for weeks praying the rosary throughout the day. They didn't run out of food, they didn't run out of water, and they never knocked on their door. We have no idea. This is the most powerful weapon on earth. Pope Pius X said, give me an army praying the rosary and I can conquer the world. And here I was 16 years ago, never going to pray the rosary. I pray it every day. I pray the chaplet every day. I pray the Angelus every day. There's such gifts in our faith. You know, the Catholic pool is so deep, when you jump in, you can't swim to the bottom. I think the only way we'll ever see the depth of our Catholic faith is in eternity, because we'll have forever to discover it. So it's just great blessings that the Lord gives us. You know, we look at tests of faith and we look at what we go through and talking about how the Lord is allowing these things to happen because it isn't about what happens here. He wants us to live with him forever. And so with that, you know, some resources that we've run across that I want to share with you, I think they're really powerful. We've shared them with our daughters for our grandchildren. And by the way, my oldest daughter, who's deaf, married her deaf fiancé, and they have two hearing boys. And all of her deaf friends have hearing children. It's really interesting what God does. But these are some resources that I've recently run across. I have them on a list here. You can take it. It has the name of the book and the title. Because to be strong and to keep our faith in tough times, we have to arm our children. We have to protect them because when we leave here, we know what the world is like. These are really great resources. You can look through these books, but then there's a list of them here. This is one that said, I Said No, A Kid-to-Kid Guide to Keeping Private Parts Private. You can sit down with your children when they're young, and you can go through this book with them, and they'll have a great understanding because when we don't say anything, then when something happens, and Marion mentioned, when you pray with people in unbound prayer, it's unbelievable how many people have been molested. It's a great book. It's a very easy resource for parents to use with their children. The other one is, and this is outstanding, it's called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. This is the best book you can show your children because they are going to run across pornography on their phone, on the internet, but it explains to them our feeling mind and our thinking mind and how we deal with it and how we respond when we see these pictures. So take a look at it. I can just tell you, these are a really great resource. A couple others that I found. These are a set of four books. The first one is called, it's really about, you know, theology of the body and our human sexuality, but it's number one is The Story of Me. Before I Was Born, there's a second edition, and then the third and fourth is What's the Big Deal? Why God Cares About Sex? And then the older one for teenagers is The Truth About Sex and You. It's a lot of the things that my mom didn't know to share with me. And unfortunately, I went down the wrong roads. Many of us did. But it isn't about what we did before. It's about what we do from this point forward. And so these are really good resources. They're all on the sheet. There's a sheet up here you can take. Two other books I would highly recommend. And they're very new. I think they've came out in the last year. One is called Who Am I to Judge? It's by Dr. Edward Seery. It's responding to relativism with logic and love. Many of us have families and friends, grandchildren that have fallen away and have bought into relativism in the world and that, you know, everybody's fine. This gives you ways to understand it and talk about it pretty simply. This is another one, great resource. It's called Return, How to Draw Your Child Back to the Church by Brandon Voigt. There is also a website. Just got to look at my notes. There's a website that you can go to that has tons of resources because if you're trying to draw your children back, returnresources.com, and it's on the sheet. The worst thing you can do is say, you need to go to Mass next Sunday. That's the one thing you don't do. But they give you resources. You give a CD here and there. You give a book, The Things to Say and Do. So really good resources. All of these books are listed on that sheet. So I would recommend you check them out. It might be something that might be helpful to give to your children or your grandchildren. Another thing I just had, we were talking about Lent starting this week, and you may have seen this before, but it's just called Joy, Jesus First, Others Second, and Yourself. Lent is a time to fast from some things and feast on others. It's a great thing to look at in Lent. It isn't just about fasting from food, but fasting from things we do, and then feasting on other things, feasting on prayer, so and service. So just a couple things that we wanted to share with you, and just wanted to say thank you for the opportunity to be here with you. You've got a great faith community. So anyway, I just thank you so much for having us here, and just know that whatever you've experienced in your life, every one of us has a testimony. And just remember, the Lord will prompt you at some time and just share it with somebody. Why do you believe? It's just that simple. So anyway, thank you very much and God bless. And listen to Catholic Radio.